today I decided that this is the time to turn over to long sleeve shirts, and I forgot about that. Just a couple of things before I start I want to emphasize. First of all, Save a Life event, movie event. This is an outreach that we're doing here at Bible Fellowship Assembly. This movie has a lot of impact. We actually showed it at youth camp. And comments I got back from the youth were, this is real. This is real, what's going on. And it's PG-13. They did send a church-friendly version of it, and the youth said no. Because full impact, you have to see what really goes on. And I'm really encouraging the youth to bring friends out. We have complimentary tickets. It's free. We have complimentary tickets that anybody who wants one to give to somebody you'd like to come out. It has all the information on the back. As I say, it's an outreach, and I'd really like to see a lot of people come on here. We're going to have discussion breakout groups after, just to get into some discussion. There'll be some volunteers leading these discussions, and there'll be entertainment before. The youth band from Timmins Pentecostal is going to be here to open up, and just some praise songs. And there'll be food, though not in the chapel, just to make people happy. So really encourage it. And say, just see me after if you want tickets. The other thing is the separate youth conference. It is coming up 12, 13, 14 November. There's only 10 seats left on the bus that's going. And I just have to emphasize that you have to sign up online. You just go to separateyouthconference.com, or you can find on Facebook the link to it. They want you to sign up online, and Zach said if you don't sign up online, he's going to get you when you get there. So, especially if you want billets, you need to get there so that you can pre-plan, because we are bringing over 40 people down there, so he's got a lot of work to do for billets. Okay. Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And at the same time, I'm just praying for my brother Nathan over at South Park Band Pentecostal, who's preaching on Thanksgiving this weekend too. Probably about now. So, tomorrow is what people in Canada call Turkey Day. Days leading to the special event are probably very depressing for our feathered friends. Many of us tonight or tomorrow will probably be stretched out on the couch in pain, wondering why we had to eat the whole bird. But that's what Thanksgiving is to the majority of people. It's Turkey Day. It's sad. I was really wondering, while preparing this talk, when Thanksgiving as a feast came to Canada. And our neighbors to the south claim that they started the tradition in 1621, of course, the Pilgrims and the Indians that they feasted with. And they ate cod, eel, clams, lobster, fowl, including wild turkey, goose, duck, crane, swan, partridge, bald eagles, believe it or not. As well, they reportedly ate pumpkin, peas, beans, onions, radishes, carrots, plums, and grapes for fruit. I bet you they were stretched out on the ground after in pain as well. But Thanksgiving didn't officially become a legal holiday in the United States until 1941. President Franklin Roosevelt signed a bill making Thanksgiving an official holiday on the fourth Thursday in November, just in time for Christmas shopping and right in the midst of the football season. So that's what Thanksgiving is in the States. turkey, and football. In Canada, Thanksgiving is celebrated on the second Monday in October, which would be tomorrow. Unlike the American tradition of remembering pilgrims and settling in the New World, Canadians give thanks for the successful harvest. Because back then, Canada was basically an agricultural country. The harvest season falls earlier in Canada compared to the United States, so obviously Thanksgiving can be earlier as well. Now, this is what I found very interesting. I Googled Thanksgiving in Canada. The history of Thanksgiving in Canada goes back to an English explorer named Martin Frobisher, who had been trying to find a northern passage to the Orient. Unfortunately, climate warming had started, so he wasn't very successful. He did not succeed, but he did establish a settlement in North America. In the year 1578, he held a formal ceremony in what is now called Newfoundland and gave thanks for surviving that long journey. This is considered the first Canadian Thanksgiving in Newfoundland. Other settlers arrived and continued these ceremonies. Frobisher was later knighted and had an inlet in the Atlantic Ocean, in northern Canada, named after him, Frobisher Bay. At the same time, French settlers, having crossed the ocean and arrived in Canada with explorer Samuel de Champlain, also held huge feasts of thanks. They even formed the Order of Good Cheer and gladly shared their food with their Indian neighbors. After the Seven-Year Wars ended in 1763, the citizens of Halifax had a special day called Thanksgiving. And during the American Revolution, Americans who remained loyal to England moved to Canada, where they brought the customs and practices of American Thanksgiving to Canada, which included the turkey and pumpkin pie. Eventually, 1879, the Canadian Parliament declared November 6th a day of Thanksgiving and a national holiday. And over the years, many dates were used for Thanksgiving. The most popular was the third Monday in October. But after World War I, Armistice Day and Thanksgiving were celebrated on the Monday of the week in which November 11th occurred. 10 years later, in 1931, the 2 days became separate holidays, and Armistice Day was renamed Remembrance Day. So, on January 31st, 1957, Canadian Parliament made official proclamation, a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest for which Canada has been blessed, to be observed on the second Monday in October. You just look behind me at that. Is there something really unusual about that? This is the Canadian government proclaiming Thanksgiving. A day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God. So, first Thanksgiving was not held in Massachusetts, like Americans like to believe. It was held in Newfoundland 41 years earlier than the Pilgrims. And whereas Roosevelt declared Thanksgiving a national holiday in 1941, the Canadian Parliament first declared the holiday in 1879. Thanksgiving is ours. Interesting legal beginnings of our present Thanksgiving in Canada is that it was declared a religious holiday, a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest for which Canada has been blessed. And that's understandable. This is an agricultural nation. And even now, where are our Bible belts in Canada, in agricultural areas of Canada? That's where they are. It was not known in those days as Turkey Day, but as a time of thanksgiving to God for his blessings on the nation known as Canada. How far are we strayed from that? In preparing this talk, I did not want to go down the traditional road of Thanksgiving messages. I felt led to take a different route and look at something that Canadians in general don't seem to understand, and that is, what should we be giving thanks for? When Googling background information on this talk, I came across a story about an old farmer who once had an ungodly relative visit him. After the farmer had bowed his head and thanked God for the food that they were about to eat, the relative rudely said, "What did you do that for? There's no God. We live in an age of enlightenment." The old farmer smiled and said, "There is one on the farm who doesn't thank God before he eats." The relative sat up and said, "Who is this enlightened one?" The farmer quietly replied, "My pig." Sadly, this little story is very true in the attitudes of many Canadians at this time in history. Martin Frobisher in 1578 knew the importance of recognizing that it was by God's grace that he and his crew survived that treacherous journey in the Arctic waters, because many did not survive that. Pilgrims of Massachusetts in 1621 recognized that it was God's grace that they survived their perilous journey across the Atlantic to their new home and survived. They knew what they had to be thankful for. Do we? So in preparing this talk, I asked myself three questions. First, why do we celebrate this feast? The second is, what have we to be thankful for? And the third, the most important, how are we to express our thanks? First question, I felt, was answered pretty clearly in 1 Thessalonians. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Thanksgiving is not a one holiday weekend of the year event. It's not. But something that we need to do all the time. That's what God calls us to do. To give thanksgiving continually. Psalm 106, which I read this morning, states, "Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare his praise?" How can we not continually give thanks to a God, a Lord, who gives us so much? And that leads us to the next question. What have we to be thankful for? In Mark 10, Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Sally and I were watching a video that Don Baumhauer gave us. He was talking about that particular verse and what it really meant. And the interpretation was that, going back to the original language, it didn't really mean a camel. It meant thread from the hair of a camel. And apparently it was pretty impossible to thread a needle with it. But nevertheless, it does put a lot of emphasis on here. We as Canadians belong to a very exclusive club. And a lot of Canadians just don't appreciate this. As a nation, we rank 13th. Of 193 nations in our gross domestic product. 13th. We're not a big country. I mean, big size, but we don't have that many people here. Believe it or not, the poorest among us in this room are among the 5% of the richest people in this world. The poorest person in this room is still among the 5% of the richest people in this world. Of people on this planet live in absolute poverty. In fact, 88% of the world's wealth is held by only 15% of the world's population. 88% of the world's wealth is held by 15% of the population. We have a lot to be thankful for. We need to take time from our busy schedules to enumerate everything that we should be thankful for and realize that these blessings come from. We need to be humble. We need to humble ourselves before God on our knees in thanksgiving for all that he has provided for us. Being humble doesn't come naturally. It's not an easy thing to be humble. If we don't continually and consciously practice humility, we slip into a selfish pride that both hurts our relationship with God and those around us. And, you know, everything to do with our faith, when you look at it, like just growing in our faith with Christ, learning to be humble, learning to be loving. These are things that don't necessarily come naturally to us. Before we became Christians, we look at our old selves. We were really good at it, our old selves. Our old lives, the way we thought, the way our attitudes and everything else, things that we developed right through our childhood into the time when we actually started to become Christians. It was once said that we don't have to go to workshops or seminars to learn how to be our old selves. We're already experts at it. We can run those workshops. But to be the new creations that we are to be takes practice. It takes a lot of work. And we can't take it lightly. Humility is something that doesn't come naturally. But it's something that once you develop that in yourself, it's such a wonderful thing to have. Let's look at what we need to be thankful for by comparing ourselves to our brothers and sisters around the world. Here's a few examples I just want to give. Abundance of food. You know, you sit down on Thanksgiving dinner today or tomorrow, whatever you're going to be celebrating it. Just look at the food that's in front of you. I know our fridge is just packed right now, and Peggy's got the turkey in the oven, I hope, by now. But I was thinking once when I was in a grocery store, and I was upset because they didn't have a particular brand of a product that I wanted. And then I started looking at the shelves around me. And, you know, you want to become humble. I just looked at that and says, wow, all this food available, not that expensive. And even we went to Kajarpik, we looked at the grocery store there. There were a lot of empty shelves, weren't there? And you saw the prices on vegetables and stuff like that, which were, well, they wouldn't even be in the sale bin in Metro. They'd be in the garbage. And you're just like, wow. And then you go to countries where people are dying. It's from starvation. Comfortable homes. You can probably figure out where those pictures are taken. Taken in Haiti. It's going to be decades before they ever get back to where they are. Pictures I've seen of Haiti right now don't look much different than this. Actually, to find a piece of heavy equipment in Haiti is hard to find. They just don't have it that they need. I mean, this is concrete buildings. You can't just do it by hand. But there's a lot of homeless people there. There's a lot of orphans as a result of this a disaster. We have a right to health care. We have better health care here in the United States. There's people in the United States who are just suffering because of lack of health care. But here in Ontario, in Canada, it's a right. How many places in the world where access to a hospital or to medical care is practically non-existent? And it's in places where they really need health care. Freedom to worship. That picture on your right is from England. There's persecution everywhere. Not just in Islamic countries. It's not just in Pakistan, but it's in our backyards. Freedom to worship is a privilege. And if you want to be thankful that we can sit in this room, in this church, and not worry about somebody coming through that door and arresting us. Be thankful that you don't have to. The only way you can really safely worship or even come close to safely worshiping is in home churches. And even then, there's a lot of danger. Freedom from abuse. Picture on the left is one that's always got me. World Vision is putting a lot of emphasis on this, and that's child soldiers. There are tens of thousands of child soldiers in this world. These children are hardened by the armies who take them, by forcing them to kill their families. That's how they harden them. You can imagine the psychological work that has to be done with these children when they're rescued. That little boy on the right there was sitting on Louis's back, the Jarvik, Apollo. He suffers abuse every day in his home. Not by his parents, by his older brothers. It's in our backyard. Loving families. I took this picture from McLean's magazine. I just cropped out the two boys. They live on a reserve that's 500 kilometers north of Thunder Bay. There is no access except by air, float plane, or ski plane. There's no winter roads. Life there is very difficult. These two boys, their father committed suicide, their mother committed suicide, and then their stepfather locked them in the house with him while he committed suicide. The person who took this picture actually went up there. He's trying to put together a film, which is out. I really want to get a copy of it. It's a film on life on these remote reserves. And he was just totally shocked by what he saw. He couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. So we have to realize that not everybody in this world, or even our own country, shares the many blessings that we have. So we have these many blessings to be thankful for. Our next question is, how do we show our thankfulness? I think this is what's really important on Thanksgiving. It's not being thankful as much as how do we express our thanksgiving. Do part of it. There's a Latin American prayer, which some of you have probably seen before, that says, "Oh God, to those who hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread, give the hunger for justice." That's us. For those who hunger, give bread. And for those who have bread, give the hunger for justice. First John 3, verse 16 and 18 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" How does God's love abide in him? "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." That's not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. It's easy to talk. It's harder to do. You know, one of the things that really gets me upset about a lot of Christians is that they keep emphasizing, you can't work your way, you can't buy your way into Christianity. No, you can't. You can't buy the grace that God gave you. It's free. But it doesn't mean that you sit in your pews or sit at home and you don't do anything about your Christianity. To be a Christian, it's a verb, type of word. You'll go out there and you do something. That's what you have to do. We can show our thankfulness to God for the many blessings that He gave us by showing love to others who are in need. God offers to us countless opportunities to show His love to those around us and who are in need. We need to do these deeds not for personal gain, but to show God's love to our neighbor. Harry S. Truman once said, "It is amazing what can be accomplished if you do not really care who gets the credit." God is the one who we have to give the credit to. We owe it to Him. Mahatma Gandhi said, "We must be the change we want to see in the world." We must be the change we want to see in the world. Mahatma Gandhi, if you ever read his biography or watched the movie about him, he had a fascination for Christians. He had a fascination for Jesus. It really attracted him. It's unfortunate that the Christians around him did not really live the message. A few years ago, Bill and Melinda Gates started a foundation to ease the burden of poverty and AIDS in Africa. Is this last week's water? Yep. Bill Gates, having already accumulated great wealth through the creation of Microsoft, decided that he needed to move on. I think he just got tired of it. When he and his wife Melinda visited Africa, they were moved by the poverty and the suffering in that country and wanted to do something about it. They started by contributing half of their wealth to the foundation. Now, this is about the second or third richest man in the world. And they put half of their wealth into a foundation, which is to be directed towards Africa. Bill Gates says, "I have no intention of my kids inheriting my fortune. I gave them the best education that money can buy. They'll make it on their own." Shortly after that, Warren Buffett, who's another one of the top three most wealthy people in the world, joined them. He's an old man. He's done what he had to do. And he eventually pledged 99% of his wealth to that foundation. 99% of his wealth. We're talking billions and billions and billions of dollars. They, in turn, challenged 100 billionaires in the United States to contribute half their wealth to World Aid. To date, 40 billionaires have done so, including Ted Turner, George Lucas, Paul Allen, Michael Bloomberg, and David Rockefeller. They have pledged half their fortune to World Aid. The combined fortunes of these people is bigger than the fortunes, gross domestic product of Canada. These men are not, as far as I know, practicing Christians, but their heart is definitely leading towards Christian values. So what about us? What can we do to show our gratitude towards God for our blessings and wealth? We may not be able to provide the financial resources that this small group of extremely wealthy men can, but we can still do much to help those in need in our communities and throughout the world. Mother Teresa once said, "In this life, we cannot always do great things, but we can do small things with great love." In this life, we cannot always do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Jesus taught us a lesson in the story of the widow's offering found in Mark 12. It says, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting their money in the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which makes a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who put in more than all those are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. I was once taught that tithing includes time, treasure, and talents, the three T's. These are three gifts given to us by God. They're gifts from God. Whether we decide to hoard them or use them to bring glory to God is up to us. In our community alone, there are many lonely seniors in nursing homes. There are sick people in hospitals. There are many grieving people who have lost loved ones, even children. There are young people who are lost and seeking acceptance and love from the wrong places. There are mentally handicapped people who end up in places like the Good Samaritan Inn because they have no other place to go. All these people are crying out for help. And God hears them. And He wants us to do something about it. He has given the time, the treasure, and the talents to do something about it. Doing this is our thanksgiving gift back to God. I just threw a couple of slides in here just showing examples of God's love for others. There's one that really chokes me up. Again, this is the type of thing we saw, what love does in our mission trip. Ourselves and First Baptist felt the same thing. You know, there are many people out there right now, overseas, in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other places. And it's disgusting sometimes the attitudes people have towards them. But realize that these soldiers are human beings with human values. And when they see the suffering, they suffer. We actually have a name for it now, I guess, when we come back. I forgot what it's called now. It's a trauma, anyway, that many soldiers suffer. Ron Paget, who many of us know, went to Haiti this summer for 2 weeks with the Navigators. He went with a group of men to work on an orphanage and to do some counseling work there. And that's what Ron Paget's specialty is. He's a counselor. He works with university students. He asked the operators of the orphanage if they would have been better to have sent them the money rather than for them to come there for 2 weeks. And I've heard that before. I even heard that about our mission trip. Yeah. Would that $10,000 be better spent if we just sent it up there than us going there? The answer was immediate from the people who they were helping. What? And forgo the relational investment you made in our lives, in the lives of these kids? This lady added, "The change I've seen in these kids in the few days that you've been here is remarkable. And our times to interact have been rich. Money can't buy that." Yeah, money is just cold cash. Our human love is what people need. Sometimes we don't know how much of a difference we can make in people's lives when we invest our time and money. We saw this in the changes of the kids in our second trip to Kajarpik. We've seen the changes in some of the kids that we have worked with here in Timmins. Many of you probably had the same experience and the outreach that you've done in your own lives. Showing our love towards others is our testimony of God's love for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the many, many blessings that you have given to us. Thank you for your show of love to us by allowing your only Son, Jesus Christ, suffer and die for us, even though we are totally unworthy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And please help us to be worthy of that love that you have shown us by putting our faith in you into action. Help us to show love and mercy to those in need. Help us to bring aid to the suffering and hope to the lost. We pray this in the name of your precious Son. Amen. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.